Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Mike and Linda, only right now you're just hearing Mike. And just want to say hi, and we're glad that you've joined us today. We're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. What is it? Tuesday. That's our Monday. So it's our first time this week back in the studio. And I guess tomorrow the studio's closed, so we're going to have to make it a good one today. So I hope and pray that the Lord speaks mightily to you. I want to let you know that we are always open to hear from you as far as you have comments, questions, insights as we continue in this series. We've been going through our Life-Changing Truth series with a little additional comment. We've been looking at marriage in particular. And I don't know, Linda and I enjoy doing studies on marriage so much, we might just extend it. We've got a whole bunch of different things we could say about marriage when we're finished with this one. So pray for us on that, that God would give us wisdom. Or you could even give us your thumbs up or, you know, text us or something. Linda will tell you how to do that because she's got the church phone. So here she is.
Hi, everybody. I feel like I'm falling over, Mike.
I put that together
like
kind of fast.
How's really that? Really leaning. Okay, it's okay. It doesn't matter if I'm leaning. Hi, everybody. If you'd like to be on the air live with us, go ahead and give us a call. That would be 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. Just can't handle the thought of talking live on the radio. Go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that is 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead and leave something in the comments. We keep an eye on those, too.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Yeah, because I'm just, as the music was playing, I'm going, oh, man, I didn't even pull up the right verse on our on my computer yet. So here I am. I'm pulling it up while you're talking. And we are in 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember, our catchphrase is that any marriage can work if you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. And we believe more than that. We believe not just can any marriage work, but any marriage can be good if two people are willing to do the right thing. You know, there's a lot of talk today about incompatibility and, you know, the divorce on grounds of incompatibility or irreconcilable differences, easy for me to say. And I think that it's important to realize that in Christ, he's the great reconciler. He's the one who makes relationships work. He is the king of relationship. He's the prince of peace. And so if there's war in your marriage, if there's problems in your life, Jesus can work it out. You know what? I really believe that if two people surrender their lives to Jesus, look to him as Lord and Savior, and you have the Word of God readily accessible that you could read and understand what God's telling you to do, you should be able to work out your problems. Now I'm looking across the table.
Oh, I was just going to say, look at us. We were the least compatible people that we know of with taking some personality tests and compatibility tests. We have scored the worst of anybody else that we get in the test to. So God can do miracles. This is not something can be done in the flesh. This takes the Lord, you know, and especially to bond you together in him. And let me tell you one secret here. We're going to start off with a secret to a good marriage.
Don't tell them.
Get into ministry together. Mm. Serve Jesus together. Instead of have your hobbies, what you do, pulled apart separately, go ahead and serve him together. That way you have one intent, one purpose. You're ministering together as a team for the Lord. There's nothing better for your marriage than serving the Lord together. There.
Oh, very good. You know, that's what I, you know, when I was a high school pastor, I used to tell people when we're talking about dating and finding the wife or the spouse of your future, I used to always tell the kids, and I still do today, but I'm not a high school pastor, is that if you want to find the perfect mate, You don't go to the bars. You don't go to the clubs. You know, people find, you know, where you fish is the kind of fish you're going to catch. You know, I mean, the kind of bait you use determines the kind of fish you're going to catch. And so we've always believed, and it's worked for us, is you find, get involved serving the Lord with your life. Get involved in ministry. What is God calling you to do? What is your calling? What are your giftings? And serve the Lord. And then once you're serving the Lord, look around and see who's serving the Lord with you. Because I think that's the perfect spouse, is someone who's working alongside of you with the same ministry goals, has the same love for the Lord as you do, maybe not the exact same giftings and callings, but you're compatible, that you could work together and help each other. Linda and I have some great differences, but you know, I was just on the phone today talking to some people with church ministry stuff, and I said, Linda's more of the administrative person. You know, she does a lot of administrative work and a lot of the business type stuff. And I do the pastoral stuff, and that's good. We cover the bases. So I think it's okay. You know, they say opposites attract. And I think the only for sure deal is it's the male and female. That's the opposites that attract. But when you're talking about personality and callings, there's things that should be similar. You should find a man or a woman, depending on who you are, and you're looking for a spouse who has the same passion for the Lord as you do, who has the same desire to serve the Lord. And maybe if you're teaching Sunday school, you look around and you find some single people who are teaching Sunday school with you. That's where I'd be fishing, looking around those who are working in the same type of area.
You're not allowed to fish anymore.
I said I'd be. I'm not fishing right now.
It was a joke, yeah, folks. It was a joke.
Yeah, I'm not fishing right now. Anyway, just my advice to you, those of you single people out there thinking, oh, I'll never find the right person. Get involved serving the Lord. Bury yourself in the work of the ministry. Get so busy serving Jesus that the only people you have time to run into are other people serving Jesus alongside of you, and you will find the right people, at least the right candidates. It doesn't mean right away you're going to catch one. Doesn't mean right away this is the one. Slow down. Take it easy. Hear from the Lord. But I think that's the best way to meet people who are candidates for spouses, is that those who are serving the Lord alongside of you. Okay. Now, we are in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we've been looking at the context. And I think because we missed a bit, let's see, we were in on a Thursday and then we missed Friday. We got a story there. I'll see if Linda wants to tell it. But I'm going to kind of get a little context here. And this, again, is a scripture for all Christians, yet we've been finding ways to apply these verses to marriage. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Now, I'll remind you, if you want to get a little definition of how to be of one mind, we already went over all this. I'm not going to go in depth again. But Philippians chapter 2, the first five verses, actually tells you to be of one mind and to think the same and to love the same. And then it also tells you how. So there's your homework, or you could turn it right now. I don't care if you stop listening to us and go get alone with your Bible and look at it, Philippians, okay? Now, it goes on to say that you may inherit a blessing. And so I remind you, one of the things we are talking about is that you can, the things that you do or don't do make a difference on your rewards, make a difference on your reaping and sowing. If you are kind and of one mind and compassionate and tenderhearted, all of these things that are you're being instructed to be, then you will reap from that and you will inherit a blessing according to what the scriptures say. And so I'm telling you, Christianity isn't just automatic. It's all written in the stars. It's all predestined that I'm going to be this kind of person or you're going to be that kind of person. You've got some commands to obey in the scriptures. You've got some instructions. That's why God gives us the Bible, so that you could read the Bible and obey the Bible.
And you can change.
Yes.
You may be by nature. Well, by nature, you're a sinner. you can be an angry person, an upset person. You can change that. The Holy Spirit can do that in you, but it also can come down to, you just decide you're tired of it and you don't want to be that way anymore. God honors that.
Right.
God helps you through
right.
that.
And just be aware of the thinking that says, well, this is just the way I am.
Yeah.
Or that's just the way God, if God wants me to change, I'll change. No, God wants you to change. God wants you to repent. He says repent. And when you find out in the scriptures, there's a whole bunch of things that God tells people to repent from. You don't just read and go, well, if God wants me to repent from that, then he'll make me repent. No, he tells you to repent, and it's up to you to obey. I don't know why some people just don't get this, okay? Now, let me keep reading in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 3. As a matter of fact, some more ifs, some more if you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do that, that'll happen. He says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, do you see something here? God will reward those who do right, and he will punish those who do wrong. I mean, hello? I don't know. Sometimes you have to almost get into theology before you start thinking different. This is common sense, right? But then people come up with some high-minded theology and say, no. Matter of fact, I think I was just listening on this radio station, the preacher just before us talking about people with the attitude that your report card is all A's all the time. If you're a Christian, then God looks at you and all he ever sees is Jesus. And that's how you get saved, by justification mm-hmm. through faith. But now that you're saved, he has a life for you to live. We're saved by grace through faith unto good works, according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. A lot of people leave out 10. But he's caused us to be born again that we might live a good life, all right? You don't get saved by living a good life, but he's called you and saved you because of his goodness so that now you can be good with the goodness of God. Now, we'll keep reading on this. You know, one of the things we dealt with, I think, last week, and I want to just remind you, is that don't use the excuse. What was it? Somebody called in and talked about their husband being in sin, and their husband, it was an addiction. And the gal was really sympathetic towards her husband because it was an addiction. And I understand addictions, and addictions are horrible. And so we talked about that, I think, in our last program. It was probably Thursday. And I just want to remind you.
We replayed that program on Friday.
Oh, so
we were not here.
Okay,
on Friday,
so you heard the original call. And I just want to stress, and I think it's important to stress it over and over again, that addictions don't make you excused, that they don't give you a free ticket because, well, God understands I have an addiction. Well, sin could be an addiction. Sin repeated and continued just digs in, it roots in into your life, and then sin can become an addiction. And just because it's an addiction now, that doesn't excuse you. Like, well, he's got an addiction. And then we start calling it, it's a sickness. You know, he's sick. Yeah, we're all sin sick, and we all need Jesus. We all need a Savior, okay? And if somebody's got an addiction, then it's up to that person. They are responsible before God to go to Jesus and ask for deliverance because Jesus is the great deliverer. He's the great bondage breaker. And so we have no excuse to continue in our sin because our sin has become an addiction. And that's something we stressed last week. And I just want to tell you again, because there's too many people today, I guess that's the politically correct thing to do, is to give someone a pass because, well, their problem is an addiction. Or even the, you know what, here I go. Even the saying, I was born this way or he was born that way. You know what? We are all born with various tendencies of sin. Every single one of us have sinful tendencies, and my sinful tendencies are different than your sinful tendencies, but being born that way is not an excuse to continue to be that way. I know some, you know, little kids who are biters. You never go, well, he was born that way, so he's a biter, let him bite. No, he needs to be trained to stop biting. I could tell you some stories on how we worked on our kids, but I won't. Listen. My wife's laughing. Yeah, there are things that we've got to do to raise our children if they were born that way in a certain tendency that is sinful in God's eyes, then parents' responsibility are to train those kids to correct their behavior, to go to Jesus, to find deliverance, to find a new heart, to be born again. And in the same way, if you were an adult and you've been laying on the excuse, you've been resting in your little excuse of, I have an addiction, or I was born this way, you need to repent and let the Lord change your life. And maybe even you need to be born again so that you can be born again with a new nature, the nature of Christ. Now, this is something we harp on a lot. And if you haven't heard it before, there, now you've heard it. Okay. Now, I wanted to finish, let's see, a few more thoughts in this context here. So let me keep reading. I think just a few more verses in 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's talking about suffering for doing what is right versus suffering for doing what is wrong. And I think this is another important concept that is, maybe we'd even put it under the category of life-changing truth. Let me just read it, and then we'll make some comments on it. In 1 Peter 3:13, who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. And he's talking about persecutions and, you know, particularly in persecutions. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me stop there. There's more to this. But again, we are told that the solution to our problems, our addictions, our behavior problems, is to sanctify the Lord. Let me read verse 15 again, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. What does sanctify mean? It means to set him apart, to put him apart in your heart, that your heart is set apart for Jesus. And it's not just, you know, when you go to a place that's a sanctuary, it's a bird sanctuary or an animal sanctuary. It's a place where the birds are safe. It's a place where the animals are safe, where you can't go hunting there, okay? And so our hearts should be a sanctuary, a safe place where it's the dwelling place of God, that you are the temple of the living God. And so the Lord wants to dwell in you and I. And so when it says sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. Oh, there's so much to say here because I love witnessing. Here's the thing. The first way you could be a witness, the first way you could make a difference is let Jesus be Lord of your life. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Be set apart unto Jesus. And then always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. Here's another thing that jumps off the page at me as I read this. It says, everyone who asks you, okay? There's some people don't want to know. I see somebody's asking for the number here if you want to call in. It's area, you put it down. It's area code 208-377. I'm going to say my phone number.
3790.
Oh, I thought I was going to say my cell phone number. That's the right one. Okay. So here's the thing. When we are witnessing, there are some people don't want to hear it. Personally, when I go door to door with my team, and there's people who are not interested, I don't put my foot in the door and don't let them shut it and just start preaching at them. There's some people who are not ready to listen. They don't want to hear it. If the Lord gives me a few more words before they slam that door, God help me to choose my words wisely. I always love to give some literature so that if they change their mind later and they'd like to read the gospel, our door hanger for our church has church information on one side and the gospel on the other side. We always want to leave them with the gospel.
Do you know this story that some people that are very key in our church right now, you did this and they hung on to that flyer? And I think it was something like, you know, a year or more later, they finally came.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. I was really blessed to hear that story. But they hung on to that flyer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really good to know.
Yeah, that was exciting, I thought I'd tell you, because I found that out last night.
That's why we use tracts in Bible literature, because sometimes people actually hold on to them.
Yes.
And sometimes people want to read them and reread them. So whenever I can, I put something in someone's hands. But it says, sanctify the Lord your heart, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you. And that's a real key. When people want to know the truth, oh, I love giving it to them. If they don't want to know, then it's not worth arguing, because if they're not interested, There's nothing you could do about it. And it says for the hope.
That is very important. People, do you get that? If people do not want to know, if they don't want the truth, if they don't want help, you can't help them.
That's true.
You have to wait till they ask or show some signs that they are ready. Mm-hmm. So that is, I mean, that is such a major truth that sometimes we think we're going to persuade them with big words or something.
Right. Yep.
If their heart isn't ready and if the Holy Spirit's not working on them, you're just going to be throwing words into the air.
Right. Don't waste your time, honestly. So it's casting your pearls before swine when you're trying to give the gospel to somebody who refuses and don't want to hear it. Anyway, I recognize a name on the line, and I know this is an old friend from California. Alan, are you there?
Yes, sir, Brother Mike. How are you?
Good. It's good to hear your voice. What's going on?
Hi, Linda. Mike, an observation and a question, so it's kind of like a split, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, people post different things about the problem with the church today, is sin in the church and all this stuff. But, man, I'll tell you what, being out there preaching and seeing the results of people that actually go across the street from a church to witness, we're in a great state of lukewarmness in the church today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're preaching, we take breaks, we put on Calvary Chapel, you know, the best praise music and all that stuff. People walk by, some of them are mouthing the words to the songs, they know the songs, but they just don't even want to look at us or acknowledge that we're their brothers in Christ out there on the front lines. Or we have a church of 5,000 people, only 5 of them are willing to go in the neighborhoods around the church to share their faith.
Right.
Now, am I correct, Pastor Mike? Is it the Church of Laodicea that was lukewarm?
Yeah, well, the thing is, the problem is sometimes, and Alan, I just want to be a little defensive here because I recognize not everybody can go out and do what you and I have done. I know Alan and I have gone door to door over the years, and right now, last I heard, Alan was going out street preaching, and I know you're doing a lot of bold stuff. And I just think everybody should do something. And I know some people in the church who love the Lord, but they just feel like a fish out of water if they go knocking on doors or if they go. Now, I think pretty much everybody could knock on the door if they're going to stand right next to me because they'll let me do the talking. But street preaching, for instance, I know what you're doing, street preaching. Not everybody could do that. And
he's going down into the pits of hell where he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's in Southern California, folks. That's not up here in Idaho where people are much more open.
Yeah, I want to show a little grace here, and I do believe that the problem is there's a lot of lukewarm Christians who sometimes, you know, they come to church, they've got the smile on their face, and then if you follow them on their Facebook, you find out they are living a double life. You know, there are things you see that go, whoa, that doesn't look like the Christian lifestyle.
I can't lie to you about that. I think I've been there. I've been times where I've even died of my own salvation, so I've been all over the road, so to speak.
Right, right. And so what I try to do is I try to encourage people, even if they're afraid to go door to door, I say, just come walk with me, stand with me, stand and don't say anything and just pray for me while I'm talking. You don't have to say a word. You know, we try to find ways to bring people out of their safety. What do you call it? Come out of your comfort zone and step out in faith and do something for Jesus. And I think we should take this opportunity just to tell our radio audience to do just that. That if you've been safe and all you ever do is just go to church and you're not involved in any ministry, you don't witness to your neighbors, come on, get a bunch of tracts even and hand them out. You know, it's funny, Alan, I still use those $1 million bill tracts. And, of course, I've updated them for our church phone number, our church website and information. But everywhere I go, I mean, there's times I'll hand someone $1 million bill at the restaurant or when I go get my hair cut. When I went and got my hair cut last week, I says, hey, have I ever given you one of these? And the gal says, yeah, I've got 3 of them. Well, that just means she's keeping them and maybe reading them, you know. So
you got $3 million. So
yeah, that's right. What are you still working here for, right? Yeah, yeah. So I get it.
I read something real quick. I guess that's Ray Comfort's favorite track, and the one that you like. And I guess Billy Graham. He was really behind working with tracks. How it's necessary, and you go out there and he is really for tracks. You know, so is Spurgeon.
Yep. Yeah, I love tracks because there are people who may not want to talk to you right now, but if you could just get one of those tracks in their hands, chances are pretty high that they're going to take a look at it later. I remember just recently going to someone's house, and they seemed like they're busy. And I says, look, let me just leave this with you. And I gave them a door hanger, which has the Romans Road on the backside. And it says, you know what? Our goal at Calvary Chapel Eagle is we just want to share the gospel with our neighbors. And, you know, I'm not so much caring about whether you come to our church or leave your church to come to ours. We want to make sure our neighbors, whether you go to church or not, you know the gospel. So do me a big...
go to heaven.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's true. That's a better way to put it. And so I remember telling this lady, do me a favor. I know you're not going to keep this, but before you throw it out, will you take a look at the backside of this that really shares God's plan of salvation with you? Because we want you to know that. And she says, okay. And I thought, yeah, she's going to throw it away, because I've seen people throw it away right after I said and I'm walking away. And as I'm walking away, I look over my shoulder. She flipped it over, and she's standing out on her front porch reading it. And that brings me joy. Well, Alan, I don't know if you hear it, but I hear the music. And so our time is up. Thank you for calling, Alan. It's good to hear your voice. And Lord bless you all who are listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
No, well, we won't. Fourth of July.
Tomorrow's the 4th of July.
Whatever they can to wait.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to Him.